This season, let your shoes do the talking. Designer Shoe Warehouse is packed with fresh styles that speak to your whole vibe without saying a word. From cool sneakers that look good with everything to easy sandals you'll want to wear on repeat, DSW has you covered. Find a shoe for every you from the brands you love, like Birkenstock, Nike, Adidas, New Balance, and more. Head to your DSW store or visit DSW.com today.
DA on CBS Sports Radio.
DA, how you feeling, bro?
Man, I'm feeling great.
I'm doing great.
Happy Thursday, boys and girls. One question only. How do you feel?
Well, I feel good and I'm doing well.
Look, that's all that really matters coming your way in 20 minutes from now. Is Florida State going to bolt the ACC as plate tectonics conference realignment once again grips the nation? Plus, advanced analytics and your epic fail at the end of the hour. But speaking of realignment, Colorado will be wrapping up its tenure in the Pac-12 and heading to the Big 12. But even though there might not be a ton of wins on the docket, Colorado has a lot of attention, maybe more than almost anybody else in the country, because of their new head coach, Deion Sanders. They are most certainly one of the 25 most interesting stories of the college football season. It's time for the sounds of Saturday.
The DA Show counts down the days until the electricity of college football season returns with the game's greatest voices.
It is tipped off. And Lewis got it under the touchdown. Lewis is going to score. Lewis is going to score. Lewis is going to score. Touchdown Auburn. Touchdown Auburn. Got a block from Brown. 50. 10. 5. Touchdown. 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 Dogs win it. We're headed to Atlanta.
Touchdown Boston College. He did it. He did it. Flutie did it.
All the band is out. The Bears have won! Oh, my God! The most amazing, sensational, dramatic, heart-rending, exciting, thrilling finish in the history of college football.
It's the sounds of Saturday, every morning on CBS Sports Radio.
Montez boots to his left. He's got a man wide open. He throws it. Catches back. Lucas got left corner. He dives. End zone. Touchdown. LaFisca shut out.
He is in his 19th season as the play-by-play voice for Colorado football men's basketball. Has been the voice of the Buffaloes since 04-05. He's also CU's first ever director of audio broadcasting for the athletic department. Joining us this morning here on the show is Mark Johnson. Mark, good morning.
Hey, good morning. It's when we get to August and camp starts, it's like Christmas morning, isn't it, for those of us that love college football?
It's beautiful. It's right around the corner. And boy, in Boulder, there's more energy, more juice than there's been in a long, long time. Describe to us the feeling around CU football this year.
Well, a little bit different. I mean, you know, last season, Colorado was 1-11. As I like to say, it was a bad 1-11, if there is such a thing. And, you know, we were probably the most uninteresting and irrelevant college football team in America. Yeah, then on December 4th, Coach Prime, Deion Sanders, hired as a head coach, and everything's changed. I mean, you know, there's a lot going on, obviously, as you were just pointing out, in college football with all the realignment. There's many great stories. I'm not sure there's a more intriguing program right now in college football, because everyone's wondering, you know, is Coach Prime going to do what he says he's going to do? He's trying to do things a little bit differently, maybe change the approach of how you rebuild a program. And so I think there's a lot of eyes on Colorado and Boulder and trying to figure out, you know, what Coach Prime is all about. But right now, I always say I'm in the interesting business, and there's no place, you know, more interesting than Boulder, Colorado right now.
Yeah, we don't usually highlight 1-11 teams in our top 25 storylines heading into college football, but certainly CU is one of those because of Deion Sanders. When he first took over, there was the video that went viral that they posted on social media about him basically telling the guys that were here, pack your bags because I got guys coming in. And not everybody took kindly to that, thinking that it was kind of exploitive of the athletes that were there. How has that been received in Boulder by CU fans and alumni?
Well, I like to say all the time that, you know, fans see with their hearts and not with their eyes. And so that they took that as meaning I'm setting the bar very high. I will bring guys in if you guys don't want to play at the level that I'm asking you to play. And I think that's the way that CU fans took it. I know it was taken very differently around the country. What has he done? He has totally rolled over that roster. I remember last year we did two games. It was the TCU game and the USC game. Gary Barnett and I, and we were talking about how many new guys the first-year coaches then had brought in. It was 48 or 49 or somewhere there or thereabouts. And I thought that was an enormous number. And yet that has been just totally surpassed by what Prime has done so far. Including walk-ons this year, there are 88 new players on the roster when they started camp here yesterday. I think it's 68 or 69 scholarship guys. There's only 10 scholarship players returning on the roster from that 1-11 team. And so it's been a total overhaul. And I think, like I said, CU fans are starving for success. It's been a long, dry 15-year run with the exception of 2016. So they're loving what he's doing. And anything he does right now is just magical for CU fans. And they're very hopeful of what's coming up starting September 2nd at TCU.
Being up close with an intimate perspective on Coach Prime, what have you witnessed about his presence, about his angles, about his plan?
Well, you know, I think when you look at him, like, you know, I've been saying he's one of one. I mean, he comes in here. We didn't hire a coach. We hired a celebrity. We hired a cultural icon as the head coach of the Colorado Buffaloes, who happens to coach college football. I was doing a show months ago, and somebody said, really, you don't think anybody else would have this kind of impact? And I laughed and said, well, maybe if Oprah Winfrey decided to coach, I don't know. But, I mean, he brings such a unique persona to this job. You know, most football coaches, they come in and, you know, they get nose to the grindstone and they're focused on football, and you don't hear anything else. With Deion Sanders, what you see is all the social media activity. It's all the things above and beyond while he's coaching the football team. He brings this, you know, I don't know if it's fair to say Kardashian kind of attention, but it's along those same lines where it's just everywhere. I think he's utilizing social media unlike any college football coach in the country. And my guess is a lot are kind of, you know, keeping an eye on this, wondering, do I have to kind of expand more into that area while I'm coaching a football team? And so it's totally unique, kind of his approach, the persona he brings, the charisma that he brings. It's really kind of unique, and I'm fascinated to kind of watch how it's going to unfold once the games begin.
Voice of the Buffaloes, Mark Johnson, joins us this morning here on the program. I think you're right, and it's not a criticism, but a Kardashian vibe suggests that via the cameras watching and following and covering everything, it adds attention and eyes and drama. And I'm wondering, what is it like around the facility with cameras, I'm assuming, far more places than there's ever been?
Well, you better watch out about your conversations, right? No matter where you go. Yeah, I tell the story right around the spring game here, so back in May. We go in and we sit down with our crew to do an interview with Coach Prime. And while we're sitting there, there are, you know, one or two other camera crews in there videotaping us, videotaping him. And so it's this kind of circumstance that, you know, he's got his documentary people and his social media people. They're around all the time. So everywhere you go, you know, there are cell phones videotaping or there are camera crews videotaping. There are microphones everywhere. And so it's just kind of this you're in the middle of it. You're on all the time, and that's kind of the world in which he lives in. And then you watch his social media accounts, the various accounts that follow him. I mean, it's everywhere. It's him, you know, walking down the hallway talking to a student athlete. It's him in a team meeting. It's him, you know, interacting with students on campus. I mean, it's nonstop. And so it's this you know, forever live. What was the Jim Carrey movie years ago where you know, he was on camera all the time?
Show.
I mean, it's got that vibe to it, if you will. And it's something that I'm not sure I'll ever get used to, but it's kind of the world in which we live in right now in Boulder.
I would imagine that this is very exciting for CU fans. Has it translated to the casual sports fan or the casual Buffs observer in Boulder, Denver, and the state that now people are paying attention to Colorado football?
There's no doubt about it. I mean, I do a little wilderness horseback ride every year with a bunch of guys, and these are I would say average sports fans. Maybe, you know, maybe every once in a while keep tabs on what's going on. And it was so that was just last week. I was up in Wyoming doing that. It was nonstop conversation. Every single guy had to come by at one point or time and ask me about, you know, what's this Coach Prime thing. You know, they're not even sure who Prime is, but they've heard of Coach Prime. And so it's really kind of captured the attention of, I think, the casual fan out there. You know, that is really boosting everything right now. I mean, we're, you know, sold out season ticket base for the first time since 1996. The endorsements, the sponsorships, the donations are all through the roof right now. The spring game was sold out for the first time ever. So the casual fan is taking note. You know, it's that old line about, you know somebody's really famous when your grandmother knows who they are, right? And right now, I think every grandma in the state of Colorado knows who Coach Prime is.
What's a realistic barometer of success coming off a one-win season?
That's the $60,000 question. I mean, how do you gauge this thing? You've got a new coach, a new staff, a new system, a brand new roster of players that I'm still trying to figure out who they are. I got in the elevator a few weeks ago, and you know, seven or eight guys got on with me, and I didn't know any of them. So, I mean, it's so weird, and so people always say, "Well, what do you expect?" I'm not sure because I don't know who these guys are and how they play and how good they are. I'm not sure what to base it on. So, you know, anything is going to be an improvement. When you're a bad 1-11 a year ago, if he goes 4-8 on the season, that's a fourfold increase. That'd be a spectacular increase. However, the fans I hear from are always, I mean, fans are just out of their minds right now. They're thinking, this team's going to go 10-2. We're going to be playing for the Pac-12 championship. Could be in the conference or in the college football playoffs. I mean, so fans are just over the moon right now. The reality is going to be someplace in between what, you know, Vegas is saying with the 3.5 over and under. And where the fans are, and you know, any increase is going to be a great increase because of how bad it was a year ago, but it's going to be a wild ride.
What is the biggest reason Colorado is going to the Big 12?
Well, I think it's just the unmitigated failure of what the Pac-12 was from when we made that jump 12 years ago and all the promises of the Pac-12 network and the, you know, the media rights opportunities and on and on, that never ever then came to fruition. I think that's the number one, because there's just so much unknown right now, and that's why you're seeing what's happening down in Arizona. You're seeing all the reports out there about, you know, Oregon and Washington. Everybody is trying to figure out where's the safest ground to land on, because right now things are so unsettled in the Pac-12, and it doesn't appear that there's any, you know, solid footing to be had here in the near future. And so I think that's why probably Colorado had to jump, because there's just no promise moving forward. It's been all the talk that we've seen for 12 seasons that never quite, as I said, come to fruition. And then, you know, the bus just had to look for some place that was, you know, going to be, you know, positive and financially viable moving forward.
Fans probably just started to get used to Colorado in the Pac-12, but has that move been met with applause and optimism?
Yeah, the move to the Big 12 has been, because, you know, people always think about the glory days. They're always going back to the, you know, the Big 7, Big 8, Big 12 days. Bill McCartney through the early 90s and winning a national championship. So everyone thinks about that. The move to the Pac-12, I know it's easy now to criticize that, but when it happened, when Mike Bone made that move as the athletic director of Colorado back in 2010, 2011, it seemed like the right move. Colorado's alumni footprint is in the West Coast. I mean, it's in California. And so the academics made sense. The alumni footprint made sense. Things beyond that, of course, never quite, came the way they were supposed to. And so they had to move back. So I think there's a lot of that yesteryear kind of nostalgia people are enjoying right now by going back to the Big 12. And so fans seem very happy about it.
What was the coolest thing you saw on the horseback wildlife ride?
Well, we did 100 miles, and we did see a moose one day. That was kind of cool. We came right along. There was a moose off to about 60 yards off to our left, and so that was probably the coolest thing we saw. We didn't see a lot of people during that time because we're up in the middle of nowhere. But
well, that's good.
That was a good week.
Yeah, that's a good thing not to see.
Yeah, without question.
Mark Johnson, the longtime voice of the Colorado Buffaloes, entering season 19 as the play-by-play voice of the Buffs. Pretty amazing. First ever director of audio broadcasting for the athletic department as well. Joining us ahead of a much-anticipated football season in Boulder, which is cool. Mark, I always appreciate the time, man. Thank you so much.
All right, DJ. Take care.
Mark Johnson joining us, the voice of the Buffaloes. Probably one of the rare play-by-play guys in college sports who can wear a 10-gallon hat, hop on a horseback, and ride 100 miles through the wilderness of Wyoming, I would say. Most play-by-play guys not built out of that fabric, which is why I love Mark. He's awesome. Plus, his voice is just, you know, if you are a broadcaster, you dream about having a great voice, and you adore and admire those with really great voices. And there's some things you can do. You know, there's voice work and voice coaches, and can smoke a pack of cigarettes a day, drink a lot of whiskey, what have you. But, and getting older really helps. But some guys are also just built with it. Mark's got the pipes. He's just, you know, just everything he says sounds really good. It's like, did James Earl Jones sound like that when he was 25? When did he start sounding like James Earl Jones? Because that's like him and Morgan Freeman are the voice of God. Mark Johnson could then be in that next level of the voice of God. He's just amazing.
Possibility means you have a chance.
Passion opens the door to all possibilities.
When I feel like anything's possible, I feel kind of giddy.
I want to be an astronaut,
an artist,
an actress.
To visit another country.
All I need is a backpack and a pair of shoes and I'll find a way.
I'm able to do anything I set my mind to.
I've never felt like more things are possible than right now.
In the right shoes, anything's possible.
DSW, countless shoes at bragworthy prices. Imagine the possibilities.
On CBS.
We've got it all together.
It's the DA Show on CBS Sports Radio.
All right, it's a thirsty Thursday. Thanks for being with us. Listen to the brand new PGP. It's the show about the show within the show. It's available right now. Brand new permission granted podcast. Everywhere that you get your pods, just search permission granted or it's on the normal DA Show podcast feed. Sam tweets, I'm toasting to your new dad shoes. If we bought it, we liked it. Hashtag cheers, bucko.
Booskies.
I posted on Instagram over the weekend, actually earlier this week, that over the weekend, I got a new pair of sneakers. I got outdoor sneakers. You guys know if you do yard work around the house or whatever, you need a pair of sneakers that you just can beat up. Grass stains and holes in them and you're climbing in the attic with them or whatever, you know? And so I just have a pair of these New Balances that have been beat to shreds. So I need them. They're disintegrating. I need a replacement. So I'm like, well, I'm going to beat the next pair to shreds anyway. I'm not going to wear them out. I'm not going to wear them to work or out to dinner or something. So I'll just buy a cheap pair of sneakers. I actually went to DSW, stopped in there, and every pair of sneakers was like $60 to $70. I'm like, no. I need a pair of cheap sneakers that I'm really going to beat the hell out of, and I don't care. So I went online, I went to Zappos, and they were like $35 pair of Under Armours. Like, great. So I just ordered them, and they came, and I thought that they were going to be pretty ugly because they were $35, and they were dirt cheap, and they're Under Armours, which I don't know too much about the sneaker game, but I don't think they're cool. I don't really know, but I don't think. And I opened them up, and I said, wait a second, maybe these actually are kind of cool. So I put them on. I said, I think they might be cool. Now, they're kind of like a light greenish, which is weird, which is why I think that they were cheap. But colored sneakers are in these days. The more garish the color, sometimes the cooler they are. I'm like, these might actually be kind of cool. So I went to my wife and said, am I crazy? Are these actually cool? And she looked at them and said, no, they're ugly. They're hideous. I said, oh, okay, good. I want them to be ugly. I want to beat the tar out of them. Then I put them on. I said, I don't know. I think they might be cool. So I posted on social media and Sam says they're dad sneakers, they're dad shoes. So you know what? If you bought them, you should like them. I just want to make sure I don't feel bad about buying a brand new pair of sneakers and then like getting the weed whacker caught in them, you know? Thomas tweets, I'm toasting to our own Pete the Body for going above and beyond for the new producer search. And all this despite having an infinite home on behalf of the company. I thank you. That.
Thank you very much.
Hashtag toast them.
Toast them. Overall, have you been impressed by the talent you've seen, underwhelmed by the talent you've seen, or it's about what you expected?
It's a little more than I expected.
Okay.
I'm impressed with a bunch of people.
Okay. All right. Yeah, I said this on side A of the PGP. I've been impressed by the number of applicants we've had, that the interest level is really there around the country, not just in-house, and that's been pretty cool to see.
For sure. You got a lot of people coming in very prepared, and I'm sure everybody out there appreciates that as well as we look for the new producer of the show.
I am a little torn, though, on Ryan Hickey wearing a tuxedo. Obviously, I like people who dress up. I like people who dress professionally. Coming in for this job, I want somebody that takes it seriously, and I think attire is a good start. But a tuxedo feels like he's kind of making a bit out of it.
Well, I'm still trying to figure out if he was.
Okay. Hickey is Gelb's producer. I don't know how I feel about
that. He did say that the tuxedo was one he had bought for something else. So my thought
But still, you got to have a suit for a regular interview. Yeah, do you need a tuxedo?
You probably want to get some use out of it. Yeah, I mean, if you're buying a tuxedo, you're only using it once, basically.
I don't know. I feel like it was a bit like he wouldn't have normally dressed up, but he knew that I would talk about it. And so now the tuxedo is kind of like a tongue-in-cheek. And I don't want tongue-in-cheek for the interview. I want serious for the interview.
That's right. Sports.
Serious. Sports.
Sports.
Florida State officials are contemplating a break from the ACC. One trustee says not a matter of if, but how and when. The problem with the ACC is not that they're not stable. It's that they're actually too stable. As everybody's contracts, television contracts, have been renewed recently, the Big Ten, the SEC, got monster deals. Those monster deals got monster, you know, money coming back for each and every school. And so the Big Ten and the SEC are looking at about $50 million per school per year. And that ultimately that could increase if your conference wins a national championship, how many slots in the college football playoff your conference gets, bowl revenue, the NCAA tournament. So there are some SEC or Big Ten schools that could be looking at well north of $50 million per year per conference. And or per year per school. And Florida State is in the ACC, and they're looking at about $30 million a year, as the rest of the ACC schools are. Now, $30 million bucks a year is really good if you're in the Pac-12. It's really good if you're in the Big 12. If you're comparing yourself to the Big 10 of the SEC, it's not so great. And the issue is they can't renew or renegotiate a deal for 13 years. This current deal is through 2036. Now, they signed this deal a couple of years ago with the intention of, hey, this creates ultimate stability. We have a television deal that's going to run 20 years. So this is great. We'll have a conference intact for 20 years. We will survive the fallout. The problem is, as rights fees go up, well, you're leaving money at the doorstep. And so FSU has talked about this. I mean, trustees and people have talked about this, and now they're talking about it again. There is a solution to this. And the solution is for the schools that earn more money for the conference, they get a bigger payout. And this has been anti what most of these conferences have been about for a long time, that Vanderbilt makes as much as Alabama based on a television deal. Alabama will bring in revenue based on their bowl game or their ticket sales or their X, Y, and Z, their donors, etc. But television deal equally distributed throughout the conference. And the way to fix this in the ACC is you change the payouts based on the importance of the schools. Now, I don't know what the metrics look like. That's for the conference commissioner and the ADs to work out. But I'm a Syracuse grad. I don't think Syracuse and Wake Forest and Boston College should earn as much as Clemson and Florida State. I don't. And people may argue, hey, you need somebody to play, so you need the Syracuses and Wake Forest and Boston Colleges of the world. And that's true. But the value of the television contract for ESPN to put ACC games on isn't for Wake Forest and Syracuse. It's just not. And you've got to live in reality. Sometimes I like to watch my alma mater play football. Oftentimes I don't because they're not very good. Sometimes I do. But when Syracuse plays Wake Forest, that's not the reason that ESPN is paying money for the contract. They're paying it for Florida State. They're paying it for Miami. They're paying it for Clemson and Virginia Tech and North Carolina. I mean, and you just got to live in reality. And the reality is some schools don't deserve the same payout. I mean, no offense to Indiana, no offense to Rutgers and Northwestern. They don't deserve the same payout as Ohio State and Michigan. Nobody's coming to that football conference eyeballs-wise for those schools. Can it change? Sure, if you go on a run, you get a good coach, you suddenly are good, fine. There was the 2020 year where Indiana was really fun, and that was a great season, the Michael Penix year. Yeah, but ultimately, Fox didn't shell out $60 million a year because they want Indiana Northwestern. So if we could live in this reality and people weren't offended, which I'm sure the lesser schools are like, oh, we would never go for that. But look, would you rather lose Florida State? Now, is this a jerk move in some ways? Yeah, in some ways it is, because you're destabilizing your conference and you've bought into this deal. And sorry, I mean, you signed to the dotted line. So it's like James Harden shooting his way out of a contract. Hey, you signed the deal, dude. So Florida State, you signed this deal. Your name, your signatures, your presidents and chancellors and trustees and ADs, you all agreed on it. Now, suddenly it's no good. So, yeah, it is a dirtbag move in some ways. However, who am I to argue that they're not worth more than the also-rans of the conference? They are, because let's face it, now the ACC's a bit of a bad example because basically Clemson matters and nobody else does. It would be nice if Florida State would win a little bit. Like, you want to help out the ACC Seminoles? Can you start winning a little bit more? The whole idea behind the ACC was going to be Miami, Florida State, Virginia Tech, and Clemson were set on opposite sides of the league so that you guys actually played for the ACC title and it mattered, and instead it's been Clemson and nobody else for a long time. So it would be nice, Florida State, if before you started asking or demanding for more money or we will leave at gunpoint, you would start winning a little bit more. I would appreciate that. But neither here nor there. You know, if this was a conference that had Duke, Syracuse, Boston College, Wake Forest, NC State, you know, nobody would want to watch that football conference. You wouldn't get that contract. You'd get a good basketball deal. But nobody want to watch that football conference. So you can't act like you really do demand the same amount of payouts. You can't even pretend that. Standing by, our final headlines of the morning is a kind sir, Andrew Bogish. Bogues, did you get your Taco Bell breakfast?
Yes, I did, sir. Thank you very much. It is it's number one of my power rankings right now, fast food breakfast. So it is a very, very welcome treat. Thank you very much.
You got it. I thought about you specifically saying that the other day when you said of the Wendy's breakfast is really good, but when Boyle introduced us to the Taco Bell breakfast, it kind of blew your hair back, opened up your eyes that you consider it the number one breakfast. And so I was wondering if another round you'd still feel that way with a Crunchwrap this morning.
Oh, I mean, this is at least round three or four. There's been follow-up visits because of the first one from Timmy Doyle. So this is, I can't be swayed. It's up to everybody else. The clown, Mr. Thomas, they got to go back to the drawing board.
The clown.
And figure out something new.
Ronald to you.
Because I've been through all of them, and nothing's beaten that Crunchwrap. The sauce, the hash brown in there, the warm pocket of the tortilla. I mean, it's perfect.
I think they're just number one overall in the fast food game.
I wouldn't go that far.
I think it's them and Chick-fil-A, but they're in parallel lanes.
Really?
Yes.
Wow, high praise for the Bell.
Oh, yeah. I mean, you're never disappointed when you go to the Bell, I feel like.
Okay, all right. And Boyle, were you able to pawn off some of those cinnamon bites to Carlos with a K, or as Mraz called him, Carlos with a gut?
We think. I mean, I pawned them off to Bogish to deliver to Kaplan and then give the scraps to Carlos with a K. And so I don't know what happened after that. But yeah, D.A., you're the man. What a gift. What a treat. Thank you so much.
It's so funny. It's so
thoroughly enjoyed it.
It's just so easy to win any type of acclaim. I said this yesterday. If you're a boss or in any position, it don't even have to be a boss. Just buy your staff breakfast. Everybody's on cloud nine. I couldn't believe yesterday the jolt of electricity that showered through the studios when we got a couple of breakfast sandwiches from Wendy's.
Yeah.
Holy crap. People are dancing in the aisles.
I've said this more than once in serious conversations around this place, which has, you know, everybody's always like more, right? More higher salaries, more benefits, whatever.
Yes.
And there are times where we were like, you know, complain about maybe other places that we heard of had better setups, whatever. And I would say, like, every once in a while, just if there were just a dozen bagels and some cream cheese sitting here, like, it would go so far and make up for some of the other stuff. Like, even Pete can tell you, the legendary Mike Francesa, one of the many things he would do is the first Thursday of March Madness, there'd be eight pizzas and soda here. And people talk about it because he didn't have to do it, but it became like a tradition. It's little things that go really far, and today was a Crunchwrap.
It's why Facebook Meta has that incredible snack counter for all their employees. Because, I mean, whatever that is, it's a drop of the bucket to them. But every employee there goes gaga over and starts stuffing their their pockets with Lorna Doone. Oh,
that's
to
when
go
it gets,
home on.
That's when it gets bad, when they started to start to stuff the pockets.
Yeah.
I know. But I mean, it goes a long way. I mean, it's like, wow, I get free Rice Krispie bars. I'm in. I'll work 12-hour shifts.
It's pretty sad, I guess, if you think about it, how weak-minded. I'll speak for myself, how weak-minded I am, that I can be incentivized heavily by just food. So, idea, you gotta go to fourth down play right there in your playbook from now on.
You know what? Take tomorrow off, D.A. We got it.
Yeah, right.
Seriously, as a thank you, you rest tomorrow. We got the show. Don't worry about it.
Never take a Friday off. Just let a load off.
Well, it just so happens this is a Friday in the summer. So you know what? That is my Sabbath. That is when I rest.
Oh, okay.
So tomorrow I just
noted.
Need to do that.
All right, D.A. We'll get another broadcaster tomorrow for Bogues. We'll get an NFL player, and you take the weekend off.
All right, that sounds like a good plan. Yeah. Bogues, what do we have on headlines?
It was 1897. They were called the Colts, and Jody Mack was their bat boy. That's the last time the Cubs scored like this.
Come on.
Over back-to-back games.
Was there a bat boy in 1899? He rode a rail car to the game.
Ah, see? There's a bat boy, Johnny McDonald.
The black and white newsreel footage in an old wooden stadium that was caught on fire in the left field stands the Tuesday earlier.
Hey, hey, hey.
Bat boy.
Cap Anson just homered and Jody's getting his bat.
Hurry, step this way, the strangest sight from the island.
Here he comes, Honus Wagner and his bat boy, Jody Mack.
On the same day, Kentucky found statehood as
they call it New Netherlands.
Yeah. We've bought Louisiana and the Colts roughed up the Red Stockings 16-6.
Smelly Hoover pitched 300
Smelly
pitches.
Hoover. Smelly Hoover.
Nine innings, 300 pitches.
Boom Boom McGee the Grand Slam.
And look at how active that bat boy is, running to and fro. Getting the bats of his heroes back to the dugout.
Yes. Short slips of paper coming out of his pocket. We don't know what they are.
He'll surely go to the Hot Air Balloon Festival down the road at the end of the week.
And here's Pebbles Dunkerson exchanging sunflower seeds with Jody Mack, presumably over a horse bet.
Pebbles Dunkerson. Pebbles Dunkerson.
Up next to Nickelodeon.
Smelly Hoover to Pebbles Dunkerson, and that's another strike.
Whatever became of little Smedley Hoover?
Smedley Hoover and Pebbles Dunkerson.
Oh, my. Get out of the way, please.
Oh, by Monday, if we don't have an at Pebbles Dunkerson on Twitter.
Or Smedley Hoover. At Smedley Hoover.
Smedley Hoover.
The current Cubs.
Look, President Taft is at the game.
He's throwing out a first pitch from the stands. Look at everybody clapping and laughing.
All 32 states represented on the flag atop the stadium.
It's a capacity crowd of 7,000 here at the ballpark.
Just men.
Just men.
The ladies with their flappers doing a dance routine to the crowd.
They're all pressed against the outfield wall. Actually, there is no wall. There is no anything out in right field. There's just a cow pasture. But again, it's all men. All men. A sold-out crowd of 346 men with mustachios.
Not a sweatpants in sight.
And this second inning is brought to you by Parliament Cigarettes.
Parliament also brings you the tincture that will cure scurvy. Find it at your local barbershop.
We good?
No.
All right, just interrupt when you need to. A 16-6 win for the Cubs over the Reds last night on the heels of that 29 rout two nights before. I believe these Cubs are the first team ever to follow a 20-run game with another in double figures.
Wow.
Either way, the Cubs have won 10 of 12. They are now 2.5 games out of a wild card spot, 3 back in the NL Central. The Reds, meanwhile, need to get out of town. Manager David Bell.
Two tough games. You know, that's really all it is. We're not going to make more of it than that. It doesn't change who we are or where we are or anything about any individual on our team or who we are as a team. It's that simple.
His Reds still lead the division a half game better than the Brewers, who lost in Washington yesterday afternoon. The Dodgers hammered the A's 10-1, the Giants 4, the Diamondbacks 2, and the Marlins won a thriller over the Phillies.
The 0-1 pitch. Here's a swing and a blooper. Left field! Base hit! The Marlins win it! In the bottom of the 12th! They have done it!
As heard on Marlins radio, Miami scored in the 8th and the 9th to finish erasing an early 5-0 hole. Then they scored in the 10th and the 11th to extend the game before winning in 12-9-8. They are the second team in the last 50 seasons to score in those 5 consecutive frames. The Rangers rolled the White Sox 11-1 to keep their half-game lead on the Astros in the AL West. The Orioles fell in Toronto 4-1, but the Rays lost at Yankee Stadium 7-2, so Baltimore keeps its game-and-a-half lead in the AL East. The Big Ten may be preparing to raid the Pac-12 again. The conference reportedly considering at least Oregon and Washington, maybe Stanford and Cal too. All 4 would make a 20-team conference. The Pac-12 also dealing with a meeting today about Arizona and Arizona State's athletic futures. Major drama on the final day of Group H at the Women's World Cup. Germany and South Korea played to a 1-1 draw, while Morocco surprised Colombia 1-0. Those last two nations reached the knockout stage. Germany fails to advance for the first time ever. Stateside, Messi scored twice last night. Inter Miami beat Orlando City 3-1 to reach the League's Cup round of 16. And your fiending can end soon. There's an NFL game tonight if you consider the Hall of Fame game a game. The Jets and Browns in Canton shortly after 8 Eastern.
Schwartz will be there.
What do we think? We got a little action on this game?
I mean, come on.
It's always so enticing to throw a few shekels on the Hall of Fame game because it's the first. But then you realize nobody that you've ever heard of plays in this game. It's not even like a preseason game for the coaches. It's like a special teams walkthrough. So
I think Schwartz is guest coaching.
He might be guest playing.
I wouldn't be surprised if his son is the long snapper.
He's definitely going to try out.
I don't think I can do it. I don't think I can pull the trigger because it's such an ill-informed bet. What do you think, Boyle?
Yeah, I mean,
yeah. I can't even watch it, let alone bet on it.
Wait, what do you mean you can't watch it?
Well, see, the good thing here, Bogues, is that you don't have to do one to do the other. The whole point is you can actually bet on a lot of things that you don't have to watch.
True, but I'm just trying to stress how little I think of this game. If I was home tonight in front of a television, it probably would not be on my TV.
Yeah.
So there's certainly no chance I'm going to bring myself to put money on it.
Well, with that orange and blue team out, it might be on my TV.
All right,
unless there's a good movie on.
I've got a line.
Okay.
The Jets are 1.5-point favorites. Here you go. Here's your bet of the night. The over-under, 33.5.
Oh,
that's absurd.
I actually think, though, that there is a historical note about this game and the scoring in it.
It's one of the lowest scoring preseason games, right, every year?
Yeah, and I feel like this might even have come up specifically last year that they have some crazy stretch where it's always been the under.
I know, and I bet the over, I think, last year in the Hall of Fame game was a topic on the show, I'm pretty sure.
That's right.
That was a big start for the Wizard last year.
All right, here we go. Since 2000, the under is 12-8 in the Hall of Fame game.
All right. So oh. not as
7-3 in the last 10.
It's the Wizard of Oz.
Since 2014, only two teams have scored 20 or more points in the Hall of Fame game.
That's how crappy this game is.
So let's hammer the over.
There's a voice of a wizard out of the small box predicting the Colts will win.
Wizard, wizard.
Even the DA show is not perfect. We know. Shocking. Here's the epic fail.
If you've heard the update today, Bogues has taken some runs at our friend Jody Mack, and that's just not right. Here's one of them.
The 36 runs, the most the Cubs have scored in back-to-back games since 1897,
Whoa.
When they were called the Colts and a youngish Jody Mack was their radio voice.
Come on! That's not right. That is not right.
What are decyclins?
I just like that Pete knew it was coming before I got there. The early laugh.
DA show, Mr. Mandaloria.
And I'm going to be a crotchety old you-know-what if I last another 40 years.
Still at the track? What's the track even there?
He's betting on Man of War.
Man of War's grandfather.
Let's go, Nazareth. Let's go. Let's go, Nazareth.
Well, I used to be great with Mal, who does the old-school, new-school thing quite well, mixing today's analytics.
I think in 1897, you were still betting wooden nickels.
I had 40 shillings on Seattle Slu. Yeah.
10 pounds and 8 sixpence, whatever it's called.
Eight water buckets, son.
Sixpence.
Step off a curb. Get hit by a bus.
There wasn't even money. You just bet favors. It was all trading, bartering. It's goods. I got 2 bags of flour on that horse.
And 3 fence posts.
That's right. This piece of lumber.
And down the stretch they come. Get a little of the junk off the top of that one, too.
Here's my pocket watch.
And 3 golden nuggets. If you bring it downtown, you'll see the value of these.
I got a deed on a plot of land in the Nebraska country.
Let me put down 672 hectares in Nebraska.
I would have won. Well, he paid more than 640. So John owes me a hot dog.
Epic fail, you loser.
That is why you fail.
Epic fail.
Oh, that was funny. A lot of good toasts today. King Curtis is toasting his coworker Colleen. She was sick for 2 weeks and came back yesterday with a vengeance. I'm super happy that she's back. Hashtag unstoppable.
Booski!
Incognito.
Toast them.
Incognito Man is toasting the group of D-aliens that got DA and Pete the Body and the Bourbon Bell gift card. Very awesome gesture, ladies and gentlemen. Hashtag toast them.
Booskies!
No doubt. I mean, an amazing gesture. Bubba Beard says, I'm toasting football season and all the betting in our future. Looking forward to spending more time together. Hashtag quality time.
Hashtag Booskies.
Hashtag toast them.
Quality time with your FanDuel account. And Ostrich Eyes with a serious one. I've had the toughest week of my life. I don't want to be a downer, but I lost my dad. This show helped me get out of bed every day. I owe you guys. Thank you for being you. Don't stop. You guys make a difference. Hashtag Booskies.
Booskies.
Ostrich Eyes is beyond just us on the show. You got a great group of listeners here that care about one another, that pull each other up when they're down. And I'm sure if you need any of them, they are right there in your corner, man. But we're sorry to hear about your loss and glad that maybe we can add a little bit of levity to a tough week. I mean, we've all been there losing a loved one and you just, it's brutal because you just feel like this is the rest of my life. I got to feel this way. And ultimately it gets a little bit easier, a little bit easier, a little bit easier. It takes a long time, but it gets a little bit easier, a little bit easier. And just know that the pain that you feel right now is temporary and you'll always remember the good times, but you know, it's always hard, but it does get a little bit easier. So stick with it, man. All right. Thanks to the crew back there. Awesome job, as always. Pat Boyle, executive producer. Pete the Body Bellotti on the Wheels of Steel and audio director. Andrew Bogish on your headlines. Andrew Kaplan, the Wizard of Watch DA. Be good and be good to one another. I'm DA. I'll see you next week. the mothership disconnects.